You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Thursday to you. Appreciate you being here. Chip Souza here with me in our studio. Later today on the podcast, we will play what John Calipari had to say today at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. We'll play that for you in two parts. First, he got on the stage and just kind of gave some remarks about his team, about playing Kansas next week. Real great insight from him. And then the second part of that will be a Q&A that we had with him. So hope you'll stick around for that. First, we'll talk about Arkansas-LSU. And the big story today is that Talen Green is going to play for the Razorbacks. Not listed on the availability report that the SEC put out last night. Really, only two Razorbacks are on that availability report.
Yeah.
And so Green not being on there, Chip, says that he's ready to play. Now, I think the question still remains, how effective is he? Is he at 100% speed? But the point being that he's going to play in this game.
Well, I mean, if he's at 100% speed, that would be a surprise to me, considering the way his knee bent back and hyperextended in that game. But, you know, no ligament damage, no structural damage. It was a bruise. The best thing to heal a bruise is to let it heal and let it rest. The bye came at the right time. Maybe he is 100%.
The only two players on this availability report for Arkansas, Jalen Braxton out.
Yep.
Defensive back out. I think there was some optimism that he'd be able to play in this game. He was one of the players that I think that Pittman mentioned last week, saying that, you know, maybe he gets to play. So he's not going to be able to play. I wonder, you know, because we talked about this. He's their best cover corner.
Yeah.
When he's healthy. The fact that he was that they were optimistic that he might play last week. It seems to me that there's still some hope that he could play for them this year.
Yeah, you kind of wonder what happened to set him back a little bit from Sam being optimistic that he could play. What was it that kind of set him back? Something obviously set him back.
Rodney Hill, the running back, doubtful for the game.
Well, of course, that's allowed Braylon Russell more carries. That's what they've wanted. And DeBinion being back also helps. So I think they're fine. I know Hill gave him a little wiggle, you know, when he would get his handoffs and things like that. But they're just fine in the backfield.
Now, LSU, they could probably – there's a possibility that they will get two of their better receivers back. Chris Hilton listed as questionable for this game. C.J. Daniels listed as probable. Neither of them were able to play against Ole Miss. And then, you know, Ole Miss, or LSU, they dodged a bullet against Ole Miss when Kyron Lacy went down late in that game, and then he was able to get back up and obviously caught the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah. LSU, you know, we talked about this, Matt, on the podcast on Tuesday. LSU's receivers, they look identical on the field. I mean, the only thing that's different is their numbers.
It's like they go to the receiver store.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, they had those great receivers last year. They had Malik Nabers, and they had, Thomas?
Yeah. Yeah,
they lose these great receivers, and they lose this great quarterback and Jaden Daniels, and okay, well, they're gone. Here's three more.
I mean, you look at the NFL's top receivers. I think maybe of the top maybe eight or nine receivers in the NFL, all five of them are probably LSU guys.
Gino Toretta made an interesting comment on our podcast yesterday. He said that he thought potentially the five best players in the NFL right now are former LSU players?
Well, I mean,
I think that's what I heard him say, but I mean, Justin Jefferson,
yep.
Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow,
Brian Thomas Jr. There you go. I mean, yeah, they're like a mold. They're just stamping them out. Bam, 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 bam. All 6'3", 210, 215, big-bodied receivers who can fly. And LSU has the market cornered on them.
I would be interested to look at all of those because I haven't looked at this. Like, were they all from Louisiana? Because, you know, they
sure
talk
about – yeah. I mean, New Orleans area.
Well, and they talk about LSU. You've only got to go out your back door to field a competitive football team. I'd be interested to look at that and see where they were all from.
I mean, just great receivers that play well at the collegiate level. And then when they get to the NFL, they're better than they were at college.
Some, LSU, they got a lot of players out for this game. Some of them are season-ending injuries, like Harold Perkins. You know, he's been out for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
John Emery, their running back, got hurt in the USC game to start the season. Arkansas, I mean, the LSU's a deeper team. There's no doubt about that. They are a more talented team. They've got better depth than the Razorbacks do. But Arkansas comes into this game more healthy, I think, than LSU does.
Well, based on the availability report, they absolutely they are.
There's no Luke Kaz. Yeah, on the availability report, which means he'll be ready to play. There's no Ty Washington. They think that, Patrick Kudus, this is the first time this year that we haven't seen him on the availability report. We'll see if he plays. But I was thinking about this the other day. 2 years ago, when LSU came here, KJ Jefferson couldn't play in that game.
Right.
Malik Hornsby played.
Oh, boy.
And Harold Perkins had the highlight video.
Perkins made his entire career on that game.
Yep. When he gets drafted in April, it's going to be a lot of him chasing down Malik Hornsby.
Yeah, that's his whole highlight video is that.
So they lose that game. If they've got KJ Jefferson in that game, if they've got competent quarterback play in that game, I think they've got a chance to beat LSU. They lose it by 3 points.
You kind of wonder, Matt, looking at the availability report this week and only two players being on there, has Arkansas, did they just kind of look at the Ole Miss game and knowing they were going to have a bye week this week as a, the Tennessee game, if we can just weather this storm, if we can weather the Tennessee storm, our guys are close and we'll be, we're going to have them back for a good stretch of the middle of our schedule.
It's like Merle Haggard, if we can make it through December. If we can make it through October 5th, we're going to be in good shape.
Yeah. And not only did they weather the storm against Tennessee, they won, they won that game. So, that's the way it appears to me, is that they were on the cusp of being ready to play. Let's get through this game and do the best we can, and then we get that extra week. And now it looks like, they're not at 100%, but they're close to 100%.
So they didn't have KJ 2 years ago when they played LSU. And then I was thinking, too, the time before that when LSU came to Fayetteville, that was 2020. The COVID season, when you've got all the, contact tracing and everything, Arkansas only had like 54 players available for that game.
I think they
might have had like three defensive linemen. It was one of those games where I can't remember what the numbers were, but, it's like if you fell below a certain threshold that you didn't have seven offensive linemen or you didn't have four defense, they did not have enough defensive linemen, I think, to play that game. They could have easily just said, we're not playing it. But Pittman said, we're not going to do that. We're going to go out there with the people we have, and we're going to see where the chips fall. They lose that game by a field goal, and they've got a chance for a field goal at the end of the game, and it gets blocked.
Yeah.
Otherwise, who knows? Maybe they win that one in overtime.
I remember seeing the sideline. It was almost like a high school team playing a college team based on the numbers that Arkansas had on the sideline that day.
Yeah, it's like some of the junior high games that we see where, like one team will have 100 out and the other team will have 30 out.
Yeah.
But
what if you have the right 30, though?
The point being that LSU has not come to Fayetteville with Arkansas potentially. We're going to see what happens with Green here. But potentially, they haven't come to Fayetteville with Arkansas in this good of a shape in a while.
Years, years.
I mean, 2018, that was a Chad Morris year.
Ugh.
I know it was a touchdown game, but Arkansas was losing that game 24-3 in the fourth quarter. It wasn't like it was really that close of a game. It ended up being a close score, but it wasn't a close game. It's been a while, I feel like, since Arkansas has probably liked its chances to beat LSU in Fayetteville the way that it's going to like them to beat Saturday night.
Man, and I haven't looked at it. What is the line on the game?
I think it's
line?
About 2.5.
Okay, so it's going to be
it stayed pretty steady all week.
Okay, it's going to be a typical Arkansas-LSU game that's going to be close. I love these LSU games. We've seen some absolute classics when these two teams have played, and hopefully we're going to see that again Saturday night.
What do you think about the boot?
It's big.
That's one way to put it.
A trophy that takes three people to carry it, is it really a trophy or is it a lawn decoration? I mean, what is
it? It's like a monument.
Yeah. It's like a ginormous anchor from the, some ship that sank that they rescued.
Well, Christina and I had this conversation yesterday about, where does it fall within the great trophies in college football? I don't think it's very high. And I said part of it is just because it takes so many people to carry it around.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was when they won the Miracle on Markham, I'll never forget watching Jason Peters and Sean Andrews carry this thing around.
Well,
and these are two massive human beings.
Yeah. If these two dudes
can barely get it up a foot off the ground.
Yeah. If these two dudes can't pick up a trophy, it's way too big. It's just way too big.
I mean, I have no doubt that they can pick it up, but it's 4 feet tall, 180 pounds, 24 karat gold. It's, there's not another trophy out there like it, or at least there wasn't until David Basel created kind of the same trophy. For Arkansas, Missouri.
Well, the good thing about it is you don't have to put it in a in a secure, encased glass, trophy case because nobody's going to come and steal it.
What other SEC games are you excited about this week?
There's some good ones, but the Georgia-Texas game obviously is going to be the big one to watch. It'll be interesting to see. Wouldn't surprise me in the least to see Georgia go down there and get a win. Mentioned before, I don't know how good Texas is. I thought they looked good in spots against Oklahoma. I thought they didn't look good in spots. You could tell Ewers had been out for a while. He missed some open receivers and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays this week. If Georgia gets off to a fast start, Texas could be in trouble.
Did you see where Kirby Smart got the reprimand from the SEC for pushing the quarterback down?
Yeah, you kind of wonder, I think he was, to me, it looked like he was just trying to get the guy out of the way to get,
I don't think he ever saw him. I think coaches
kind of get out of the way, kind of a thing.
I think coaches get in such a tunnel vision on the sideline, especially coaches like him, the intense ones. They get in such a tunnel vision, they have no clue what they, when they ask him, hey, did you know you knocked down that quarterback? He said, no, I believe him 100%.
Yeah,
I believe him 100%.
Yeah, like I said, I think he was just trying to get out of the way because he was trying to get to somewhere else or out on the field or somewhere.
He said he was trying to get to his defensive coordinator because he didn't like the formation.
That's what I figured too. It was obviously a get out of the way, and it didn't matter what uniform the kid had on. He's like, get out of the way. I got business here.
Now here's a question: reverse the roles. Jeff Lebby pushes down Carson Beck. Do you think that he gets as free of a pass from the SEC?
No.
I don't either.
No, he doesn't.
But you got Kirby Smart.
Carte blanche.
You've got a true freshman quarterback from a team that doesn't win.
Yeah.
Just
a little different story.
Tennessee, Alabama's this week, too.
It is. And which Tennessee team is going to show up? Which Alabama team is going to show up? I mean, this is a game I wouldn't be surprised to see Tennessee win it. And I picked them to win this game this week in our game day. I picked Tennessee to win it. And maybe I'm just too caught up on Tennessee's run game and thinking that they're going to be able to control the clock a little bit better. Alabama, what are they? Are they the team that beat Georgia and looked dominant in doing it in the first half? Or are they the team that let a big lead evaporate in the second half?
They're a team that can't play defense.
Yeah,
they're a team that can't play defense. That's the thing about Alabama this year. Their defense is not good. I've got them in Power Four games giving up 33% of all points possible.
And you're not going to. I mean,
their offense is phenomenal. You know who Alabama is? They were LSU last year.
You know who Alabama is? They're Washington last year because that's the way Washington played.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I said this with DeBoer. I don't doubt that he's a good coach.
Brilliant offensive mind.
But I don't think there's the attention to detail there with Alabama. There just can't be.
Well, and something else you have to keep in mind too, the Pac 12, 14, 16, whatever they are, they were a league that was a lot like the Big 12 where – we play defense, but we really want to light the scoreboard up. That's the way they were. And in the SEC, that mindset for the better, more elite teams is not that way. They're built more defense first and then offense. So that's something he's going to have to learn. You know, it's something that Lincoln Riley is struggling with that a little bit too, at USC. So, we'll see. We'll see if he gets it. I would imagine – He'll eventually get it figured out.
There's a lot of really interesting games this week in the SEC. You've got Oklahoma, South Carolina. You've got Kentucky at Florida. Even Auburn, Missouri is an interesting game to me because I don't know that Auburn is as bad as its record looks. Hugh Freeze says they'd win 90% of their games if it weren't for the ones that counted. But Missouri
– I'd be 6 foot tall if I was six inches taller.
That's
right. Yeah.
Missouri, I don't think they're as good as their record looks. I think that could be a really interesting game.
Drink let everybody – I mean, before the season started, he let everybody know that, that they had deficiencies on that team. And losing a guy like Cody Strader, a guy who was, like, right there leading, the country in rushing, that was a big loss for them. They're not as good of a team as what they were ranked at all. And he knew that. I had a little talk with Brandon Marcello about that, about Mizzou. Matt, I differ from a lot of people around here. I do like Eli Drinkwitz because – he's an Arkansas guy, and I want all the Arkansas guys to do well when they have an opportunity. I want to see Rhett Lashley win and Eli because those were guys that I saw when they were high school players. So I have a soft spot in my heart for those guys.
It's the rubbing it in on Arkansas
fans.
It is.
But if he were the Arkansas coach rubbing it in, it would be different.
The tweet when he got Crutchfield to commit to Missouri, that's what –
a little over the top.
I think that until that point, and maybe I'm forgetting something, but until that point, it was just, okay, he's just kicking their butt on the field.
Yeah.
that was the point where I think he lost a lot of people.
That's where, you know, you would think that, and I don't know how much influence he has, but I would think he would have some. That's where Rick Jones should tap Eli on the shoulder and go, okay, let's. That's going too
far. But Drinkwitz wants to be Spurrier.
Well,
that's who he wants to be.
Hey, he's a great quote. I will say that. For us guys in the media, he is a great quote.
Spurrier could back it up on the field. Yeah. The question is whether or not he's going to be able to back it up on the field enough, because they've had one good year under him.
Yeah.
One real good year, 11 wins. The rest of them, I mean, he was a little bit on the hot seat at the beginning of last year.
Now, did Texas buy a billboard and do that in Missouri when they came in and got Wingo, the receiver, right out from under him?
I don't know if they did or not.
No, they didn't.
Okay.
They didn't.
I don't keep up enough.
Yeah, they didn't. So, you know, Drink, he gets out of his lane every now and then, but still, I'm going to, you know, have a soft spot for him because he's one of our guys.
I think people will like him a lot more when he's not at Missouri.
Probably so.
There you go.
Yeah, probably so.
All right, when we come back, John Calipari, his comments at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club today. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We'll get to John Calipari in just a moment. First, we want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. John Calipari at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club today. We'll play it for you in two parts. First is the comments that John Calipari made when he took the stage.
I've said this at a couple places, that I've had an ovation like that one time in the state of Arkansas. When I got thrown out of that game. And then I have to remind you all that we did win that game, but that's another thing. I'm amazed. I'm going around the state. I'm taking the team with us. We were in Hot Springs and Pine Bluff. We're doing different things to connect this team with the people of the state, to let them know it's their team. And it's been fun. We're really beat up. Who has stopped in practice? I know, JD, you stopped in practice. We got like six guys, so we're playing against GAs. And let me say this, we got Kansas next week. And I know you all, we're playing Kansas. They're number one in the country. I just hope they got some players out too. And I'll tell a story, and I've said this a couple different places in town. My dad, when I grew up, used to tell my sisters and I, listen, it's never quite as good as it seems. And it's never quite as bad as it seems. In the middle falls reality, so you keep things in perspective. So going into this game, it kind of comes back to me. And my sister went away to college. She went to Penn State. Any Penn State graduates here? Yeah, I haven't yet to meet one. But she sent a letter to our family, and my dad, my mom said, Vince, do you want me to read the letter? And the letter went something like this. Dear Mom, Dad, Lee, and John, everything here in the Happy Valley is wonderful. I'm enjoying the school, the professors. I'm making friends socially. It's unbelievable. My dorm did burn to the ground, and I lost all my belongings. But I've gone to Goodwill, and I've got some clothes, and I've borrowed some books, and I'm all caught up. I did move to an off-campus apartment, and I have a new roommate, Jim. And Jim's been out of rehab for 5 months, but I think you will grow to love him like I do. And I do want to apologize to all of you for not inviting you to the wedding, because that happened rather quickly. But Mom and Dad, I want to congratulate you two on becoming grandparents, because I think you'll be the greatest grandparents ever. And she signed it, "Your loving daughter, Terry, Dad. All of the above is a lie. I failed chemistry, and I wanted you to keep things in perspective." So whatever happens to this exhibition game with Kansas, we all just keep things in perspective. It's, I love playing the game just to get the atmosphere going and get people to see the team. I wish we'd have a full roster. We won't. I don't know exactly how many guys will be out. But there will be a bunch of guys out. But it's a great opportunity to find out, where are you? Right now, at this point, where are we? And then where do we need to go? What do we need to improve on? What are areas that, look, we're not bad in these areas, and what are the others so that we can get after it? A note of, my wife grew up 2.5 hours north of here near Springfield, Missouri. So she's so happy to be here. Her parents are still alive. She's driven up. I call her the princess. Can you get me a plane? No, it's 2.5 hours drive. She calls me the roommate. Then I tell her the roommate takes good care of the princess. Let me say that. But the environment, the vibe, having Coach Richardson, and he and I talked after Rose passed, but you probably know this, maybe you don't, but he was her caregiver for 12 years. 12 years. My dad was my mom's for 5. And I remember telling him, wow. He said, "I'd have done it for another 20 if I had to." And for Coach Richardson to do 12 years, 24/7, like, he didn't like to leave. I'm trying to get him over to practice, and he comes over, but I want him to come to that Kansas game. I'm trying to get Ted Owens, is who I started with at Kansas. That's the guy that gave me my first opportunity. What was I? Volunteer assistant. When he hired me, he said, "Would you come as a volunteer?" I said, "How much does that guy make?" But I'm trying to get, I'm trying to get him to come and sit on the side. I'm trying to get Larry Brown, who's having some health issues, nothing crazy, but, and Coach Richardson, have them right at midcourt watching this, because of what they've all done for the game. And I come back to you, everybody, Arkansas, and I'm like, Coach Sutton and Coach Richardson, those years, there was only a couple basketball programs that did more than this program did during that time. And I'm looking around the room, and I see some people with gray hair, so you know what I'm talking about. The place was crazy. And I played in Bud Walton, and it's one of those hard places to play. It just is. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited about the roster. I just wish we were healthy. And just so you know, and I'm going to open this for question and answer, because I'll give you more of what you want. But it's culture first, and then winning follows. The culture is what is expected. Well, do a little more. I try to tell these players, when you're looking for things to do and you're spending time on your own, now you're on your way. Then the other thing of culture is what's unacceptable. This is not going here. The other part of it is having a staff that knows their job is to add value to players. So the culture is first. And I'll tell you, we had a good summer. You're starting, but the culture also is you get in the season – and you get dinged a little bit, you fall back on your training. You fall back on the culture. You're going to be fine. I was so happy for Coach Pittman and that football team. Do you understand they're an eyelash away from being 6-0? Like everybody talked about A&M, we should have beat them. Yeah, they beat Missouri by 40. And Missouri was like, what, top 10? For him to do what he did, and were any of you in the same boat as me, quarterback goes down, oh my gosh, they got to go the length of the field, there's no way. I talked to Sam, I said, was he really a quarterback? I said, because he looked about 5'5". And they go down and make plays and beat Tennessee. How many of you were there? What was that stadium like? Now, did you see the parachutist go into the wall? I was right there. I'm like, what the hell? I thought he went face first into the wall. But, you know, I see the love of this university and this athletic department, and I'm seeing it throughout the state, that it means something and that people, it appears again, if they play hard and they play unselfish and they're a bunch of good guys doing it, you and I know if that's what you have, it just takes you time to get where you're trying to go. I can't tell you how good we're going to be early. I can just tell you that my focus is on that culture and what we'll do, how we'll do it, what it takes. I had to stop him yesterday in practice. My big guy, 7'2", he was like almost letting go of the rope. And I go, it's okay you feel that way, but now you push. And when you go in the locker room, our culture is, I am exhausted, I have nothing left, and I feel great. That's what if you do that, you'll want that feeling all the time. And if you walk into the locker room, this is miserable, what's he doing, how's he push? You're coming out tomorrow, my groin, coach, I can't go today. And so the culture of, you got to take what you want. Nothing here is going to be given to you. I don't make promises. If you're drinking, smoking, clubbing, chasing, don't come here, because you're going to ruin it for 7-8 other families. And I said, I want to do this. They say, how long? Said, let me help about 20, 25, 30 more families. And by doing that and taking the approach, one, it really makes it about the process versus just individual games. And yes, I want to win. You've seen me coach. Have you seen me coach in this building? Yeah, I won a lot. But what happened? Somebody say something? But you know I want to win every game I coach. But I'm also trying to put young people in positions to help themselves the rest of their lives. And that's why we went to Hot Springs and Pine Bluff and gave away how many pair of tennis shoes? 5,000 pair of tennis shoes? Where the kids were putting them on their feet, washing their feet and putting new shoes on. Most cases, we've done this 8 or 10 times with my team, trying to let them know the impact they can have. How do you create real joy? We were doing it for families. Normally, it's just kids. But you had families come up. Like, you know, I want the kids to feel that, to understand that you're going to be in a position to move people to good, or you're selfish just trying to see what you can gather, or are you trying to make somebody feel good? So it takes you 5 seconds to say hello. And I'm telling these guys, you'll see the rest of your life that keeps you going.
I hope you're enjoying this time with John Calipari at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. When we come back, the Q&A with the coach. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We'll get to John Calipari Q&A here in just a moment. First, we want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They have been serving their community since 1971. They are committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs and the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. We'll go back to the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club now. Time for my Q&A with John Calipari. What I wanted to do with this Q&A was ask him questions maybe that he hasn't been asked before. Learn a little bit more about Coach Cal, not so much about Arkansas basketball. And I began asking him, what was it like to grow up in Moon Township, Pennsylvania?
Well, first of all, for everybody here, I am a poor, miserable sinner, just so you know. Let's right off the top. My dad was worked in the mill for a couple years, said he had to get out. He was near the blast furnace. He ended up being a baggage handler at the Pittsburgh airport, later the Charlotte airport. My mom worked in the high school cafeteria, junior high school cafeteria to be specific. But we grew up Friday to Friday. Anybody in here grow up Friday to Friday? Thursday, what's dinner? Waffles. I mean, whatever's left is what you're doing, because Friday, and then you're having ice cream all weekend and cookies. And so, but wasn't just us, everyone that lived with us, around us, we were all the same. You know, never locked a door. Am I saying stuff that you guys know? Never locked a door. Did you ever call somebody to go to their house or just go to their house? How many times did your mom and dad throw you out of the house? Get out of here. Go do something. Go get on your bike. And so we all, and they're still my friends. The guys I grew up with are still my friends today. I say in Pittsburgh, you learned if you didn't work, you didn't eat. And if you really wanted something, you were going to have to go try to get it because you didn't have an advantage. It's not that you have a disadvantage, but you have no advantage. So I was fortunate. My high school coaches, great guys. I just saw my high school coach and college coach this past weekend. I did a clinic in Pittsburgh, had breakfast with them. But here's what I would say. The people, we had no professionals around us. So there were no lawyers, no doctors. There were teachers, and there were coaches. And that's who we all looked up to. And so I played, and I'm looking. I'd like to be a high school coach someday. And I went to college, and then I said, maybe I'd like to be a college coach someday. Then I went and did some college coaching as a volunteer and then worked my way up. I said, maybe I'll try this pro thing. And then they fired me. So I said, that didn't work so well. But I have been blessed in that my best players have all been good guys. Because if your best player is a jerk or he's somebody that you can't coach, how are you going to coach the rest of your team? And if you can coach your best player hard, you can coach everybody else hard. It doesn't mean I'm cussing and swearing and kicking balls and throwing things. I mean, I'm teaching. Now, I have to tell them, because if I talk loud, it does not mean I'm mad. Because I'm Italian and sometimes I talk loud. But if I'm mad, you'll know I'm mad, because I'll let you know I'm mad. And but if you can't coach your best guys, this is a really hard profession, and I've been blessed. I think part of it is how we recruit. I was taught early, a guy named Pat Nardelli. I got the UMass job. I was 28. 28, had no idea what I was doing. But before I left to take the job, Pat Nardelli sat me down. He was from our community. He used to be a booster for the basketball team, buy you pizzas or take you to the bowling alley as a team and stuff like that. Really good guy. Still alive today. Said, here's what I'm going to tell you as you take this on. He says, you know, I'm in business. You can have a bad deal with good people because it happens sometimes. But you can never have a good deal with bad people, whether it's players, staff. It may look good. It may smell good. It ain't working. Well, I'm going to hire this guy because he's going to get me these not working. Is he a good guy? Okay, if he's not, this player is so good, but I know he is a jerk, but he's so good, it doesn't work. And I've kind of lived by that, you know, my career. Tried to just, the staff, the people around me, I can go to bed at night knowing I've got people around that understand what our culture is and what it stands for.
I was reading the Blue Ribbon Report the other day, and Kenny Payne in it says that he said the word that he would use to describe you right now is refreshed. I wonder, what has the Arkansas job done to rejuvenate you?
I told the story, what happened. You know, John Tyson calls me and wants me to meet with Hunter in Phoenix. And I'm like, Hunter's in Phoenix? What the hell is he doing in Phoenix? That was the Final Four. And I said, John, I have to leave tomorrow at noon. So if he wants to meet me, he can meet. I thought it was simply about candidates, and it was. And then it kind of shifted. Like, what about you? What about me? Why wouldn't you take this job? You're telling me it's such a good job, then why don't you do it? And I said, I'm leaving in 15 minutes. I got to be out of this hotel. And we talked Saturday and Sunday. By Sunday, I said, you know what? I want to do this one more time, and I want to do it there. And I'll just tell you, and again, I'm not trying to get spiritual. Can I say this again? I am a poor, miserable sinner, okay? But we had a priest. We went to a friend of mine. He had a bachelor party. That's where I was going, his third bachelor party. In Vegas. And he brought a priest in Vegas. And Father Joe from Philly, I know Father Joe. And I go up to him and I said, can I see you? I said, look, this is coming at me. And, you know, why won't he just tell me what I should do? And it doesn't work that way. And I said, well, how about you, Father? Why don't you tell me what to do? He said, it doesn't work that way. Go on a walk for an hour. Be the coach at Kentucky. Then on the way back an hour, be the coach at Arkansas, and you'll have a feeling of what you should do. And that's what I did. And that's why, you know, people are looking at me. He lost all kind of weight. No, my face looks better. I'm more excited about doing this. And I know it's a challenge, folks. I understand. Everybody thinks we're winning every game. We may get beat by 30 by Kansas. I'll move on. Next day, it's a process. I understand. But the vision of what I have is what Coach Sutton and Coach Richardson did here, being one of those programs, being on national television, being one of those teams that kids want to come here. And we've been fortunate right now. Why do you think kids want to play for us? Because I've had 80 guys go to the NBA. I had 60 first-round draft picks. I've had 40 lottery picks. Top 10 picks, 17, 18, 16, four number one picks. There are max contracts in the NBA. My guys have 30% of them. Like, I have four guys that make over $60 million a year. And so now, but if you want to be promised, you're going to start in minutes and everything is going to be about you. How do you build a team? More importantly, how do you build trust? They got to know they're just saying stuff, and I'm just not going to get there. We've lost on kids that I wouldn't make commitments to as far as how many shots they're going to get and all that. I just never have done it, and guess what? It's worked. So we're in a little different age now with the transfer portal. I wish I had 20 guys on my team right now because of the injuries, but even then, the wrong guys that get hurt, you got problems anyway. So I don't know what you asked me, but that's what I said.
It's good enough. Right before you got hired, there was a tweet that you put out that really caught my eye, and you were talking about the Pittsburgh area coaches who helped blaze a trail for people like yourself. And one of them was Lanny Van Emen. Who coached here 50 years before you did.
I just met somebody that played for Lanny in Pine Bluff. No, Hot Springs. He came up to me. We took a picture, and I sent it to Lanny. But Lanny, Tim Gergerich, I can go on and on. There were a group of coaches that when we grew up in Pittsburgh, you have Sean Miller, you have Archie Miller, you have myself. They're probably 8 of us, 10 of us that grew up there that now coach. But, yeah, Lanny was – he hit me right away. You know I coached there, and I forgot he had coached here. So did he – he was before Coach Sutton, I believe.
A lot of people would say that he laid the foundation for what Coach Sutton was able to accomplish at Arkansas.
Good. He's a good man. He's a good man. Still going strong right now.
You in one of your public appearances, you described yourself as a gatherer. And what I think you mean by that is that you like to just bring people from all different backgrounds together. I wonder, where does that come from?
My dad was a gatherer. He liked to do everything with all his guys. You know, when they worked, one guy cooked and the others worked. And then they'd come back and have a meal. One guy would come in once a week, and instead of working, he cut hair. So they all got haircuts, but they covered for him in the job they were doing. And I just grew up knowing you do stuff together and everybody's involved and they're laughing and they're having fun. I've said this over and over. When we're done here, I want 1,000 people to say, without me, he couldn't have done this here. And then I'm feeling good. That means I gathered. I got people together. I got people to feel good about what they're doing and being involved. I laughed. The Lindsay's put me on Dixon Street. I don't know if they did it because they liked me or didn't like me, but I was on Dixon Street for, what, a month? I had to have earplugs. But people like that have helped already. And everywhere we go, it's the same thing. Like, we want people involved. I want you involved. I want you to come to practice. My practice is, I'm not going nuts. I'm coaching, but we'll have a practice. We'll have 50 people in there watching us. What is it, brain surgery? I mean, it's coaching basketball. And I'm not embarrassed about how I coach. There are coaches that are way better than me. You can say that, and I'll agree with you. But what we do and how we do it, my hope is for the people out and my own team and staff, hopefully I out-care everybody, that I want people involved, that I want them to feel so connected that when we lose, they can't sleep at night. And when we win, they can't sleep at night because they are so excited, tossing and turning. That's when you know that we're all together in this.
I wanted to share a little story with you. When I took my son to your father's son camp back in June. And when Eric Musselman left here, he was so devastated. It was because he didn't care about basketball. He just wanted to go to the basketball camp. That's what had been promised to him. And so when you were hired, he didn't ask anything about you. He just said, does he have a basketball camp? Because he wanted to go to basketball camp. So we took him to father's son. And I loved just the way you approached that, the speeches that you gave that weekend. But one of the things that stood out to me was how many people kept coming back to your father's son camps. There were people there from Virginia. There was a man from, I think, Tennessee who brought like 7 sons there or something. Why is that camp so important to you?
Well, there are 2 things we did. We did a father-son camp, and we did it back when there was no NIL. So I was running fantasy camps, father-son camps, camp. Why was I running those camps? I can employ my players. So I try to have 20 camps. So now they get a Pell, they get the student money, and they get camp money. And if that ain't enough, go somewhere else. Well, now that's not enough. But that was the reason we did it. And what happened was it went from 300 to 1,900. And then we did a women's clinic. Did anybody here come to the women's clinic? So we had almost 200 at the women's clinic. It'll end up being 700-800 that'll come to the women's clinic. A lot of women didn't know we even did it. And so, but the ones that went, they'll be the ambassadors that'll say, you need to go. It's, again, just connecting and trying to get people together. And the best thing about the father-son is seeing the sons so mad that the dad missed a free throw that cost him a trophy. Like, you know, and but it's doing it together, seeing those things. It's the funnest camp we run for me to walk in. And we won't, I don't even know, I think we ran two camps, father-son camp. Don't run as many as I used to based on, you know, why I did it. But bringing people together, it's the same with that.
We'll get you out of here on this. You've been in Arkansas for 6 months. Anything that has surprised you about being here?
No. I mean, this is, I grew up like the people in Arkansas. It's how I grew up. But here's what I will tell you. This little postage stamp corner of the world, woo, people just don't know that it's all everything. I mean, when you talk about what's going on, and I get it, a lot of it's Tyson, a lot of it's Walmart, a lot of it's J.B. Hunt and all the others. But this is a college town that is more than that because of what this community offers. And I didn't know that. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know the campus was so nice. I went from the graduate to Bud Walton and then to the airport. I never knew they had sororities and fraternities and all that stuff. I didn't know they had a on-campus hotel. So that was surprising to me when I went around and saw. I'm like, wow, this is really nice. And the other thing, I hope you know the facilities here are off the charts. You may not know it, but the facilities, have you ever been to the baseball facility? Oh. If there's something better than that in the country, I need to know. I went, I was going to my office, and I see this ball game being played. I thought it was a baseball team. It's a softball team. There's 6,000, 7,000 people there. You know what soccer's doing. And that we also know track's won, what, 50 national titles and Olympians and all that. How about their facilities? How about that football stadium and then all the other things? The facilities here for basketball and women's basketball. Bud Walton, everybody says, well, we need to do something. It seats 20,000. It'll be sold out. It's already sold out for the year. But, yeah, it's older. But I don't see the bathrooms in the concourse. I just walk on the court really nice, and here we go, and the fans are really good. So, yeah, I imagine they need to redo it at some time. But at this point, with NIL and all the other stuff, I get it. But the facilities, if here's what it is. They're taking so much money from the athletic departments around the country for NIL. If you don't have facilities right now, you got a choice. Do you do NIL for the players or do you do your facilities? What do you think a coach is going to say? NIL. We'll do with this. Well, what about the roof is leaking? We'll put a bucket on the floor. We've all done that. So this, and I told Hunter, I don't know if you guys did it by design or just lucky, but everything they need, the investment will later come, will be Bud Walton to upgrade and do the stuff, but that's, I think it's fine. So I was surprised at that kind of stuff. But let me say, it's a pleasure to be here. The support you guys show, and I want you to have unbelievable enjoyment when you watch the team. How hard they play, how unselfish they are, how they compete, they dive on the floor, that you're watching and you're loving it. Now, you may want them to make more shots or make a better decision or, you know, come up with that rebound in traffic or, you know. But the biggest thing is how they play, how they present themselves, and what they're going to do for the state. So I appreciate everybody and all you, the high school students over there that are getting honored. It's great. And I got to practice. I got to go back to all five guys. Thank you.
Our thanks to Arkansas basketball coach John Calipari for being with us at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. If you're interested in learning more about the sports club, you can go to OzarksTix.com, OzarksTix.com. Peyton Hillis is our next featured speaker. That'll be next Thursday in Springdale at noon at Home 2 Suites. You can buy your tickets at OzarksTix.com right now. We'll be back with another podcast on Friday as we look take one final look at Arkansas and LSU. Ethan Westerman will be here with me. We'll also give our predictions for other SEC games this weekend. Until then, hope we see you at WholeHogSports.com. Have a great day, everyone.